You know, they try to say that our traditional gospel music is about to be a thing of the past. But you know what I tell them? I said, if you get in trouble, you're going to have to go back to the same old music. If you walk in the doctor's office and he tell you you got 6 months to live, the hip-hop ain't going to help you. You're going to have to fall down on your knees every now and then and say, I need, help me say, the old. You know, it gets dark sometimes, but when it gets dark in your life, the sun can be shining, but it can be dark in your life. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. When it gets dark in your life, you can reach back, go down Old School Boulevard again, and come back up and get this message. Shine! Oh! Tell him, shine. Oh, me. I'm gonna sit down in a minute. Let the light. This is what I was raised on. From the light. Help me say, come on.
Good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's nothing like going back to the old. Because one thing I can tell you all, with those old songs, if you listen to the lyrics, they were really truly talking to God. They were really truly asking God to come into whatever their situation is. And we just thank God for the old. Sometimes we have to go back to the old sometimes. And on this morning, I can sit and tell you, I had to pull over and just stop and get out and listen to the songs that was being said. Because you never know what God may be sitting and saying. We never know who may be going through some situation. And that's why it's great to sometimes go back to the tradition. And sometimes it's great to let God know, I need thee, Father God. It's great to know that you have joy in the morning. And that's what we have this morning. We have joy no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation is. God woke us up this morning to be in his presence, to come and break the bread of life and to drink the living water where you will never thirst again. So I say to you this morning, Good morning, good morning, good morning. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation is, over in Fiji, France, South Africa, wherever you may be, right here in the United States of America, my ADM family, leave it at the throne. This is yesterday. If you were on the line, the instructions were given. We are to leave everything. Whatever happened yesterday, the day before, you were forgiven. Everything, your slate was wiped clean. So you should have woke up this morning with beauty, with laughter, with joy, with peace, with love in your heart. So from ADM, from my voice to every ear that's on this line, good morning and thank God that he allowed us to be here another day. Happy, marvelous Monday. And we just thank you all for getting up in the morning, getting up, making a sacrifice. But you're not making a sacrifice to us. You're just showing God that I want more of you. Fill me up, Father God. Let me be in an overflow with your Holy Ghost power, your love, your peace, your happiness. Just fill me up, Lord, because I need thee. As we go into prayer this morning, whatever it is, remember, song, it is moved. God has forgiven you. Whatever you need, put it out there. Let God know. Talk to God. Talk to God. Let God know whatever your circumstances is, whatever your situation is. This is the time for you to talk to him, let him know, and trust and believe that it will come forth. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace, Father, because we didn't have to be here on this morning, Lord Jesus. We didn't have to be here in your presence, Father God, but your unconditional, your telling love, Father, woke us up this morning, Father God. Let us be in our sound mind this morning, Father God, just so we can say thank you, Lord Jesus, just so we can say we love you, Father God, just to let you know that we need you, Father God, just to let you know, Lord Jesus, without you, we are nothing. And we just so thankful to you this morning, Lord Jesus. We are so thankful, Father God, for the things that you are getting ready to do for us, Father God. We have an expectation, Father God, that you are a deliverer, that you are a healer, that you are a waymaker, Father God. And we are just so thankful for that, Lord Jesus. And Father, anything, Lord Jesus, that may be hindering us on this morning, Father God, blocking our mindset, blocking our heart, Father God, the thoughts, Father God, vain imaginations, Lord Jesus. We're not casting them nowhere, Father. We're putting them under our feet, Father God, and stopping them, Father God, so we can't stop no more, Lord Jesus. And we do this collectively, Father God, knowing, Father God, that we have the authority to do so, Lord Jesus. We don't have to sit, Father God, and deal with the diabolical forces, Father God. They have to deal with us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father God, we pray, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the word that's going to come forth this morning as we command our atmosphere. We command for any negative situations to be moved out of our way. And we command for the sun, the light, the new beginning, the breaking of dawn to just illuminate and allow us to have a day of fulfillment. Fulfillment with joy, peace, happiness, love, success, prosperity, whatever it is that you feel that you need on this day, you command it and let it be so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, amen, amen. I don't know about you all, but yesterday I really enjoyed the service. I really love when we have people to come on to give instructions. And as the apostle said, you know, sometimes God will use people to give you confirmations on different things that he may have had put in place that Holy Spirit had and told him. So as far as me, I'm so excited about what the next couple of days are going to bring forth. I'm excited and looking forward to teaching. It's always great to learn something new. But saints, we have to be in a place. We have to be in a place that nothing and nobody can sit and disturb what God has for us. And one thing about it, we know that Satan and his diabolical imps are always there. Their job is to kill, steal, and destroy. Their job is to tear down the kingdom that God is building. Their job, usually, and chaos, and allow people to be judgmental and bring up things that no longer exist. But I want to tell you today, that's not what our Father, that has nothing to do with our Father's master plan. That has nothing to do with what God has for us. It has nothing to do with the blessings that God has for you that's getting ready to come up, that you're ready in a place to receive. But one thing I can say, in order to receive what God has for you, in order to receive the things that God has already start relinquishing for you, you have yourself in a place, in a position to receive it. That's why we have to fast, we have to pray, we have to consecrate ourselves. Anything that we're harboring, we have to release it, and we've been talking about that over the past week. And one thing about it, we're constantly reminding you, because it's so in kingdom of God that you do not sit, you're not judgmental, you're not sitting and dwelling on different things, because you may have a spirit of jealousy, or there may be a situation that you felt that you was done wrong, or you may have been overlooked about something. Whatever it is, you have to let it go, because when we come to God and we sit and we repent, and that's what we're in, a redemptive state right now. God lets it go. God lets it go. He releases us because God examines our heart. He's an internal God. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. He knows that we may step out of line. He knows that the path, the crooked path that some of us walk and some stay on, some get that path, and every now and again, that path might veer off a little bit. But the beauty of it is, when we identify, we become transparent in a place where we can understand what God is doing in our lives, us right back in His loving arms, and we're able to start things all over again. I don't know about you all, but I can truly sit and say that I didn't walk on the crooked path for a long, long time. But when God put me in a place amongst people that sat and said, we are going to accept you just as you are. All you need to do is be accountable and responsible for your ways and your actions, then God will do it. God will make a way. Not man, not me, but God will make a way for you. And no matter what the naysayers, the haters, and everybody else that's trying to keep you from getting into God's kingdom to reap the things that you may have sowed on good soil, you have to be in a place where you're trusting God and in a place that you can just be naked and let God know, here I am, Father, surrender all, I'm withholding nothing. I have all these blemishes. I have all these flaws. And guess what God is going to do? He's going to bring you right back in, no matter who, what, where, and whatever the situation is. And that's what we're going to, what Minister-elect Monica is going to talk about this morning, about being in a place, going out, the prodigal son, going out, and then God coming back, and he's receiving him in a place, receiving him back in his heart, not holding anything against him, but he's in a place of love, because God is a loving God. He's a forgiving God, and he wants what's best for us, and he wants us to give him our best. He does not want us to pinch off of little things and give him little things. He doesn't want crumbs because he doesn't give us crumbs. If you have the best, he wants the best. If you're in a place where you just mediocre, then that's where he wants you to build to the place where you can do better. Turning it over to you, Minister Elect Monica.
Good morning. Good morning, saints. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope you've had a very, very good weekend, but it's time to rise and shine for the Lord. And as we go into this word, I just want to make sure that everyone understands that a lot of times when we go into a story or talk about a story in the Bible that may be familiar to everyone, sometimes it's great to have the reading of the word come forth. And I'm just going to go in on Luke 15 and 11 and read to you the story of the parable of the prodigal son, because Christ spoke these words. And when we see these words in red, we can always know that there's spirit and truth in these words, and there's something to be taught here. So I don't want to take away from the story by paraphrasing. I'm just going to go into detail by reading the verses, and then we're going to just talk about how powerful and how important this teaching was to the disciples. Because, see, we are disciples, and as our Father gave us a teaching of knowing what he needs and wants from us, we see a meaning or attitude explained or exemplified in these stories or parables. So as I read this, just open your heart and mind up and just imagine from the Father's perspective what he was doing and saying as he is exemplified in the father of the prodigal son in this story. Okay, I'm reading from Luke 15, starting at verse 11, and it says, "He, a certain man, had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And then he had spent all, there arose to mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain and have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran, and he fell at his neck. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now this elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry. Come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Forgive me for the stumbling in my reading, but we can see in the story itself how beautiful of a story it is that Christ would share this with the disciples and the Pharisees. Because at any point when Christ is teaching and he's speaking and it's in red, it's something very powerful there. And it warmed my heart. It made my heart warm and full to see unconditional love of that Father. And if you know anything about the unconditional love of our Father, who sits on high on his throne, he had the same attitude that the father in the prodigal son had. The prodigal son had a father that saw that he had desires to go into his inheritance as early as possible. But in his youth and ignorance and his immaturity, he wanted to squander it. He wanted to take it and be a good steward over it in the world without the godly counsel of his father's household. So the younger son actually stepped out into the world when the older son had stayed with his father and remained in the field and did what his father needed him to do. But the prodigal son, the younger one, being able to have his own inheritance early, wandered out and became a man of the world. Well, that's significant because it demonstrates two attitudes of people that have become the children of Christ. And in that attitude of the younger brother who wants to go out into the world, he strayed away from his father's home. He strayed away from his father's house because he wanted to see what the world had to offer. But people, I'm telling you, there's nothing out there in that world that's for us, because there's nothing outside of our father's house that can be greater than what our father has for us in his home. But as the prodigal son wandered off into the world, he began to see what real living or taking care of yourself could be, because he was no longer under the protection of his father's household. He no longer had the grace and the knowing of that his father's servants would serve him and that he would want for nothing. And this is basically exactly what it's like when we step out from under the covering of the Lord, when we step out under his covering or out of his household into the world and we leave him, which he'll never leave and forsake us. We find that the world will chew us up and spit us out because there's no love for us in the world, because we don't belong in the world. And as we live for ourselves, as the young prodigal son did, we find out that we're not gonna receive true love. We're not going to have true guidance. We're not going to have the covering and the protection that God gives us in a covenant as we move into an agreement to be his people and he be our God. But see, the prodigal son had to find that out, because sometimes we have to find out the hard way what it is, what it's like to be away from God and to be out there on your own. So when you live for self, this is what you bring upon yourself. So he began to go out and he squandered his gifts. He squandered his inheritance. And in that wealth that he was able to go into the world with, the world did not respect or give him any love whatsoever. He had to see that he had to work by the sweat of his brow, and to see that everything that he thought was favor upon his life was no more because he squandered it. And I don't know if he really was out there, like his older brother said, with harlots and doing things that weren't of God. But at the end of the day, he became the he came into a broken state. And I'm talking about financial brokenness, not just spiritual, but he was out there to the point where he had to herd swine. And when he was out there herding swine, in that day, herding swine was one of the lower levels of herding because swine were looked down upon. And the fact that he had to eat what they were eating, when you realize that he was eating the husks, the same thing that a swine would eat, he had been reduced to eating like an animal. And he thought about, he reminisced about what his servants of his father's house were eating. He said, at least bread enough that they not hunger. And here I am hungering. And it's just so profound how he recognized that in the midst of his mistake, in the midst of his wandering, in the midst of him coming out from under his father. And that one thing right there reminds me of myself when I strayed from God. Because, see, I was raised up in the church, and I knew who Christ was because I was blessed to be in a family that served the Lord from the time I was born. And when I was able to make the decision on how I was going to serve God on my own, my mother said, now, your sins are yours, and you have to answer to God for what you do in your life. And I'm not going to make you go to church, and I'm not going to make you serve the Lord. But if I were you, I advise you, daughter, I advise you to serve the Lord, because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so with that mindset, I knew that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior, but I didn't live for Christ, y'all. And a lot of us aren't probably living for Christ, but when you make that conscious decision to live for Christ, as I did, I began to realize, just as the prodigal son, that I had a father and that he had a better way for me, that he had promises and he had made provisions for me, that I shouldn't be out there wandering from pillar to post. I shouldn't be out there living out from under my father's grace and mercy. I shouldn't be out there without the salvation of my father, knowing that he has made a way for me. And I so foolishly wandered out there in the world, knowing that I had a father that had many mansions, and I could have been under him and guided by him and loved by him, but I chose not to come in. But I'm going to tell you one thing, people. When we come home, when we come in, we got to know that we have a father that loves us unconditional, and that he has a forgiving heart, that he was patient, and that he was very grateful that his son came in out of the world and off the road. And so when we come to Christ, when we give ourselves and we commit wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly the way the prodigal son comes home, we can know and understand that there is a way to come back into the fullness of God because of his grace and mercy. And I'm turning it over to my sister because I know how powerful this message is, and there's no way anyone can misunderstand why the father was so loving to a son that was so ungrateful. Over to you, sister.
And you know, I really wouldn't want to say that he was ungrateful. He was just in a place of curiosity. He was in a place where we also get so many times. We want to just binge out into the world. And once we get into the world sometimes consumes us. We get caught up in the situations and get into places and things that we're not supposed to. But when Jesus was telling this parable, he was letting the disciples and the Pharisees know that you have the right. See, we have free choice. We have free choice and free will to do things. And the Father could have said, and he could have argued and said, no, this is not how it goes. The older brother is supposed to get this and get that or whatnot, but I'm not going to argue with you. This is what you want to do. Here it is, my son. I'm going to give it to you. And then, this is what happened to us on a day-to-day living right here and now. We know that God, because the word in Matthew, the word tells us that God will provide our every need, that God will give us exactly what it is when we need it. And then we know that there's a time and a season for everything. But then when we get to the place where we are anxious, see, expect one thing, anxiously, being anxious is another thing. And the word tells us not to be anxious for anything. We go out of the will of God. And that's what happened with the prodigal son. He went out of the will of God. He put himself in a place where, like my sister say, God was nowhere in his situation for a season, for a moment. And he did not sit and come and say, okay, here it is. I'm going to provide you with this. I'm going to put this blanket over your back. I'm allowing you to deal with the choices that you have made. And this is what God does to us sometimes. See, we so quick to sit and say what Satan did to us or what Satan has done or whatever. And it's easy for me to say that because in my mess, I always used to sit and say, oh, Satan made me do this. The devil made me do this. Why? Because that's what I was taught. But then as I went on into my study, having different people, I realized that we have choices that we make. And in those choices, we sometimes make wrong choices. But the beauty of it, as Monica said, when you make a conscious decision, when you identify those situations or whatnot, God right there, his loving arms is right there. But people and man, they don't see that. They don't see when you in a situation and you call up somebody and you trying to tell them or they trying to tell you that this is what Satan did or this is what Satan, and you done constantly told them over and over not to do this or no, this is not this. When you choose or when God say take your hand off of something and you choose because there's choices to continue to go on your path, then you're sitting and saying to God, I got this. The word say, trust for you to not lean on your own understanding, but to do what? To trust God. And see, when we give him everything, when we identify what our situation is, then we're inviting God to come back and take over the situation. But this parable had to come into place because the Pharisees, they had so much to say about sin. They were so caught up in the law of what was going on before them, the law that was put into place. But see, when Jesus came on the scene, that little situation twisted. The law was put to the side. It wasn't finished. It was put to the side because his grace and mercy is what got us through. God's grace and mercy is what got the prodigal son and made him come to his senses and realize that I don't need to sit here and eat what the swine eat. And in that time, and when you go back and you look, and I want to say it's in Leviticus, it talks about the swine, you not touching the swine, and then got himself too. He had them put himself to a place where he was living an unhealthy life. And I'm like, Monica, I don't know if he was out there messing with the harlots and doing different things. And we all put ourselves in a situation where our sin may be so bad to others that they're constantly condemning us, constantly bringing it back up, constantly doing different things. But at the end of the day, our Father, our Abba, let's personalize it, Abba, our Daddy, sit and say, come to me, come back to me, child. I got you. Let me remind you that I told you that I will provide your every need, that I told you that your sins have been forgiven and they will never meet back up together because they're as far as the east to the west, which is never going to come back. I have forgiven you because you have made a conscious decision. You've made a confession. You know that without me that you're nothing and nobody. So I'm willing to allow you, just need you to get it right. I need you to ask for forgiveness, to repent and ask for forgiveness and take my hand, take my hand and realize that I don't let you go. I'm not going to let you go, but this is where you need to be. I'm not going to force myself on you. You have to want me as much as I want you. And in the prodigal son story, the father saw his son coming, he was a ways back, and he saw his son coming, and he met him to a, he met him in a place. God meets us. He meets us in a place just where we are. And if we come to him with filthy rags on, and we make a conscious decision that we want those filthy rags taken off of us, he's going to remove those filthy rags. If you come to him with a mouth that's potty mouth, that's just so disgusting that when you around and you open your mouth or you come around people that they know that's about you, God will clean that mouth up. You just have to put yourself in a place of conscious decision. And then if when God cleans you up, this is the part that's so important. And I can sit and say it because I used to let people just beat me down. Beat me down, constantly remind me of things that I did off of bad choices. And then when you, when they constantly reminding you of those bad choices, it starts to weigh you down. It becomes heavy laden. But I'm going to tell you something about Abba, our daddy, our father, however you want to call him on the day. He's my daddy. I'm going to tell you something about daddy. When you sit and you you start letting daddy, you start confessing. I like to outwardly, if I'm walking, if I'm driving or whatever, I like to outwardly speak what is going on with me, something that I may have done, something or whatever. I like to outwardly speak to my daddy and let him know, you know what, he gives that whole, the Holy Spirit comes and gives me a sense of knowing that, daughter, it is okay. It is okay.
Amen.
Because you know why? You identified. You recognize what the situation is. So when those that come back around you, when they get angry or when they get in a place or jealousy come abound or whatever, you're able to sit and say, you know what, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but it does not matter how you feel because, see, my daddy has told me that it is okay. My daddy has told me, be still, rest your head on my bosom because you made a choice to come back to me. And I don't know who we talking to on this line this morning, that when you make that conscious decision, because God not going to force you to do anything. He's just going to sit and put the plan out there for you. And when I sit and say he's going to put the plan out, you will know. You will know whether it comes from a prophetic message, whether the scriptures jump off or whatever, or it's just a sense of knowing. You will know what God has for you. Now, it's up to you to make that choice. For over the last couple of months, God has been coming through the word, whether it's Apostle Temple, whether it's us, whether it's somebody coming in and talking on the broadcast, that he has blessings with our names on it. He said it. He said he has blessings with our name on it. And it's up to you to remove the things that's not of God and make conscious decisions of your, the free will decision that you have been given to make, to grab hold on which road you choose to go into. You have that right, that choice. But if you look at it in the prodigal son, the daddy didn't force himself on him. Daddy don't force himself on us. He just lets you know, I love you, my daughter. And if this is what you feel like you need to go out there and do, then that's what you go out and do. But just know that there is a road that's going to lead you back. It's a road. Hear what I'm saying. It's a road that's going to lead you back into my arms. Now, it's up to you when you're going to take that road because, see, nobody knows the day nor the hour what God has going on. So it's up to you to make that conscious decision if you're going to receive, if you're a backslider, if you're going to repent and receive what God has for you and make Jesus your Lord and Savior, or you continue to stay out there in the wilderness, because God is not. He will put people in places as God has put Apostle Temple, First Lady Spencer, and people like, they are the head, the neck, as Monica likes to sit and say. And provisions have been made. Provisions, provisions. Yes, Father God, provisions have been made. Even in this pandemic right now, provisions have been made from God blessing them and then them blessing somebody else. That's what our Father does. That's what our Father does. Sending it back over to you, Monica.
Yes. Okay, everybody, now, my sister broke that thing down eloquently about the prodigal son, the younger son. But see, before I started the story, I told you that this was talking about two people in Christ. There was the younger brother and the older brother. And in the younger brother, we saw the prodigal son. But let's take a look at the attitude of the older brother. The older brother was the one that stayed at home under his father's will, that stayed in the house, that stayed on the property, that really knew what kind of blessings he had and did not leave his father's home. And because he stayed there, he was obedient, and he did what his father needed him to do, and he lived a good life without straying into the world. But who is that? That is somebody in Christ that has always tried to stay and hold on to God's everlasting hand. But when someone came home, his brother came home and came back into the same grace and mercy, he was angry. What was that? Was that the spirit of jealousy the older brother had, that the father would welcome him in so graciously, so happily, and bring him a beautiful robe and just kill the fatted calf and have a feast and be merry about it? Why was he angry? Why was he jealous? Because the father said, you should be happy. And he said, well, Father, you didn't even kill a kid or a baby goat for me, and I've been here the whole time. But he said, do you not see that he went into the world and it did not overtake him, that he came home to us, and that is something to be grateful for because his soul wasn't lost. And that's how a lot of us Christians that don't fall into sin the way the others have fallen, and we stand back and we look at them and be wondering how they're going to come back from that sin that they're in. That judgment of how dare they come back to Christ, or how dare they backslide and expect to come back into the home of our Father and be welcomed with open arms. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this attitude is rampant in our house. We're having people judge on other people that may be new to Christ because they had a past and didn't come in with clean clothes on, that they were raggedy and came in off the street, but our Father put his best robe on them, and they were brought in, and they live and have the same promises and love and unconditional provisions that we have, and we should be happy for that. We should be happy that every time a soul that strays out and comes back, or a new soul comes to Christ, and regardless of what we think, we know that our Father is not a respecter of persons. He's going to know the heart of that person. And see, the father in this story, he knew the heart of his young son. He knew the heart and mind wasn't where it should be, but he was willing to take him back in, and he was so grateful. He ran to him, like my sister said, and met him where he was. And how dare the brother that stayed behind see this merriment and see this happiness and have something to say about it? He wasn't happy for his brother, and that's where we have to be when we see new people coming into Christ, or some of our brothers and sisters that have fallen in sin, backslidden, or whatever the case may be, and they've come back, and God has given them another chance, not a second chance, but another chance, and we should be grateful that that person didn't die in that lifestyle. We should be happy and celebrating every time a soul comes to Christ, whether they've been home before and left, or if they just new to the house and being adopted in. And as I speak to you on that second son, that was something out when I heard this story. But today we're talking about two people in the house of the Lord, two people that love God. But you know what? God loves them the same and equally. And at the end of the day, we have to put the mindset of that older brother aside. We can't allow that to creep into our spirit, because some of us did have the grace and the mercy to never leave his home and to stay up under him. But we have to have compassion. That's the word, compassion, for those who are still out there and that may have strayed out and need to come back. And as I speak on this part, I just want you to consider and ask yourself, can you have the compassion for your brothers and sisters to come back on home? Or can you allow your father to embrace another child into the house, another new soul, another lost soul? And with that mindset, I ask you, recognize the teaching of the prodigal son, not just the son that was invited back in, but if you're already in your father's house and if you're already there, don't expect God to just throw away the ones that didn't fall, that fell short, that didn't stay with him, or the ones that are new coming in. But just be mindful that because he didn't do it for you and do the or merriment, he's not even overlooking you. He knows that he's had you from the beginning. But see, you were safe and sound at home under Christ. And the ones that strayed out or the ones that haven't made it in, there's room for everyone in this mansion. Turning it back over to you, sister.
That's right. There is room in everybody's, in God's mansion for everybody. And God is a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a way maker. God will sit and make whatever provisions, whatever. That's the beauty of it. God meets us just where we are. He meets us just where we are. And his unfailing love is just what it is, unfailing. God's love never dies for us. His love is content. It just goes on and on and on like the Energizer Bunny. And that's what people don't understand. They do not understand that when people or when we or when I or when you or whoever go out, veer out in the wrong way, through the way, but then you have people, and I'm saying pray, they praying you, they doing the intercessory praying and asking God, Lord, we got a lost sheep out there, but let us pray and help them come back into where they supposed to be. But then you got people that P-R-E-Y pray on you because they are jealous. They are jealous because they didn't get what you may have gotten. They may have, but in all reality, they did get what God had for them, because he said his grace is sufficient. God gives you what you need at the time that you need it. It's just that we don't see it because we're too busy looking at what the next person has. God is not that God that's sitting and judging you for every little thing that you do. God is not that. What is more important to God is, he said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. What's important to God is saving souls, winning souls, not sitting out there and saying, yeah, you did this and you're not holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb, so God is not going to forgive you. Find one that's as holy as God, then we need to see him. We need to see who that person is, because Jesus, he lives, but he's not walking on this earth at this time. His spirit is. And that's what people need to understand. God's favor, God gives to those based on their, he looks at our heart. Look at David. Look what David was. But see, God didn't sit, and he didn't, David had a consequence for his actions. But he was in a place to receive whatever the consequences was. But David is a person that God said was a man after my own heart. And that's what people need to understand. As Monica said early, God looks at the heart. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible to the ending of the Bible that Jesus used, when his disciples were disciples that had some issues. In the Old Testament, when God chose, they had some issues. When God chooses his people, he chooses his people that has a testimony or a message, because they have went through something that's going to help you to get to the next level. I can't tell you, I can't talk to you today about the prodigal son if I wasn't a prodigal daughter. My message would not mean anything. It would fall on deaf ears. But I would sit and tell you this. It is something about the love of Jesus. God the Holy Spirit, all in one. When they come to, when they just embrace us and they're different and equip us to deal with the different things that we have to go through on a day-to-day life. It's up to you to persevere, to endure, make a conscious decision as the younger son did, and say, Daddy, I couldn't make it without you. Can you please give me another opportunity? And this time, Father, things are going to be a little bit better for me and a little bit easier because I've made the mistakes. I've seen things that I may have not supposed to see. I've been in places that I may have not supposed to be in. But because of the free will, I was able to go. And that's not where I wanted to be. That's not where I needed to be. So I made a conscious decision, a conscious. That's what this story is about, making a conscious decision to come back home to God. But when you come back home, the worst, you done scraped the bottom. You done been in places where people sit and say, oh, you this, you that. But when God see you, he's able to clean you up, pick you up. You got the experience. That experience, you can share it with somebody else, and God is not going to continuously, constantly remind you of your failures. He's going to pick you up, clothe you, put you in, and dress you to where you're supposed to be, and allow you to go about the world and tell people that I once was lost, but now I am found, and God brought me right back in his bosom, and is holding me tight on today. And this is the best place that you need to be. Do you want to know about my God? Do you want to put your past behind you? Do you want to be in a place of shelter? And is your skin thick enough to take the tears away? Those that's jealous, slap them up out of your face with the word of God. Let them know that God loves you. Remind them, get in those scriptures. Start learning scriptures where you are able to quote back things that God has shown you, reminding them that this is what the word of God said. What you say don't mean anything, because I made a conscious decision that I was coming back home to my Father where I can live comfortably and know that I am loved, no matter what my circumstances and what my situation is, because I made a conscious decision. Monica, is there anything else that you would like to add before we close this morning?
I just want to remind everyone that the compassion of the older son is essential in the body of Christ. So if you know somebody that's out there, pray for them. Pray for them to come home. And the ones that are out there that never been in the household, pray for the ones that are homeless, the orphans that are in Christ, to come on home to our four moms. It's room for all of us in God's house.
God bless you. I just want to jump right in real quick and just let you all know, as the women of God were speaking, especially the pray for people the whole topic that they were sharing. Listen, this is the week to where we're going to be going into, my God, consecration, fasting, and praying. We're dealing with, my God, the atonement, and we're dealing with all of that. Amen. And this was a season of repentance, a season of prayer, a season of blessings. Amen. And we're going to begin. I'm going to begin to teach on these blessings and these different things midnight. It's going to be late night, you all. Amen. So it's going to challenge many of you all. Prayer life is going to challenge many of you all to come on to be a part. Amen. But I'm telling you, you go through this season or this good, well, a couple of days or a couple of weeks with us. Amen. You're going to surely be blessed. I want you to go in and do it. Amen. I want to show you how you could get blessings and blessings for the Lord, just being in his presence and just taking the things up serious. Amen. This is going to be a season. This is going to be a week or a couple of weeks of cleansing, a couple of weeks of rededication, resetting, repositioning. Amen. And this is what they did you know, in the Jewish calendar, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, leading up to this Jewish calendar new year. As of September, they're going into a new year, and this is what they did into this time frame. It wasn't in January, amen, and that time period. It was in September, amen, and it was a season of repentance, a season going before the Lord, a season of sacrificing, and season of land offerings to start off the year in blessing. And this is a season we're going to go into as we're going into, my God, a repentance and just cleansing our spirit and our soul. I want you to be a part of us. I want you to be a part. I'm going to get started on Tuesday midnight going into Wednesday morning, amen, at 12 a.m. You come on and be a part if you want to go through a spiritual cleansing, spiritual detox, amen. It really will bless your soul, amen. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen. And please, Dad, we ask you to come in and join. We're not being selfish. We love to help spread the word of God. That is who ABM. We full of love. We try to show it at all times. So come on out with us. We'll see you tomorrow at 7 a.m. and then tomorrow night, 12 a.m. God, we trust. Have a beautiful day in the Lord.
My soul.